This is quite a lesson today, and of all the lessons that I have studied since I have been teaching, this one probably made the most. I had more respect for what was said in this lesson, and probably one of the best lessons I've ever heard on the subject. And I wished I knew the lesson author individually. I'd love to tell him how much I appreciate what happened, because it wasn't until after about the fifth or sixth reading of it, I have to go over and over and over for it to sink through what's going on. And near the last time that I read it, it was like, oh, I see what you're saying now. I see what's going on. And I thought it was just very, very tastefully done, very well done. And before we get into the lesson, and by the way, it is about the Antichrist. And if there is any more explosive issue, divisive issue in all of Christian theology, this is probably it. And it's really strange when I was reading all of the commentaries, the old ones and the new ones, it's really strange that all the new ones never try to identify who the Antichrist is. Amen. All of the older ones have no problem at all stating who the Antichrist is. My question is, why in the world would Paul be dealing with events way down at the end for this little church that just began about 4 weeks ago, and now he's giving all this attention to last day events? And it boggled my mind that here he went to that church, very first one established in the Gentile world, and only had 3 weeks. Now, how much did those people know before that time? Zero. They had no background in Jewish theology. They had no concept. They were raised in this heathen world, so everything Paul was saying was totally new to them. And he only had 3 weeks before he was kicked out. And we understand that the second letter was probably 5 weeks afterwards. So he spent 3 weeks there, about 2 weeks or 2 weeks to a month away. And then he got this message about what was happening in the church, and he sent this other letter. So it's very, very new. And for him, of everything, just imagine, what is going to keep that church alive? A study on last day events? Well, it's the major thrust of this letter. Well, why would Paul do that? Take this time to show this lawlessness. Now, I want to read to you a passage that I have right over my desk. I want you to understand where I'm coming from when I study the lesson, when I get up here and teach. I want you to understand what rattles through my brain always. And I'm going to read that to you. As the earth brings forth her bud, and the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth. So here's the main thrust, is that it is God that causes anything that is sown here to spring forth into praise and in righteousness. I keep that in mind. As in the natural, so in the spiritual sowing. The teacher of truth must seek to prepare the soil, of the heart. He must sow the seed, but the power that alone can produce life is from God. So I can be wrestling with this stuff so earnestly, as if what I say is going to cause spiritual growth in you. It's nothing but a seed. God then causes that to spring forth. There is a point beyond which human effort is in vain. While we are to preach the word, we cannot impart the power that will quicken the soul and cause righteousness and praise to spring forth. In the preaching of the word, there must be the working of an agency beyond any human power. Only through the divine spirit will the word be living and powerful to renew the soul unto eternal life. This is what Christ tried to impress upon his disciples. He taught that it was nothing they possessed in themselves which would give success to their actions, but that it is the miracle working power of God which gives efficiency to his own word. Every time I prepare a lesson, every time I go in and I'm studying, I'm doing so as earnestly as I can because I'm trying to understand it. But I recognize that if anything comes of this, it's going to be that the Holy Spirit will take this seed and cause it to grow. Now, when I was first in the church, probably within the first year, 2 years, this concept of last day events was so intriguing because the evangelistic series that we heard were on the beast and the mark of the beast and the Sabbath and all of these things. And the premise was, here are all these horrendous things that are going on. You better make your decision and you better follow the Lord. And most of it was out of fear, motivating me out of fear of what is coming. Well, in that environment, when I ran across this idea of last day events, now folks, I had no religious training whatsoever. So I came in here a total greenhorn. And all this stuff was very intriguing to me. Well, I watched how the devil was working in my own life. That here was something that really piqued my interest. And so I gathered every book I could, every manuscript I could, and I was going to study last day events. And we got a whole group of young people together, and that was going to be our focus, study last day events, not the character of God. So as we studied those last day events, I didn't realize it, but we put our two little children down, and we thought they were asleep. And we were studying all these things and telling all this stuff about last day events. Well, our children couldn't go to sleep. They listened to all those things, and guess what was being born in their heart?
Fear.
Fear. Horrendous fear. I didn't know that until years later when they were an adult. And they told us, Daddy, when you were in that group, they still remembered it. They weren't even in school yet. We still remembered it. And we were afraid that the Pope or someone was going to jump through our window and take us away and take us down into those dungeons and they were going to kill us. And they were terrified. So here is Paul talking about last day events, to a church that knew nothing. And they were the only church on earth at that time that was planted right in the heart of heathenism. And then the leader was ejected. You think God doesn't have a plan? He wanted Paul out of there. Why? Because it is the power of God that causes the seed to grow, not Paul. Not Rob. And so Paul was so anxious. I wonder where they are. I had to leave because they were going to kill us, and I don't know what's happened to that church. And he sent Timothy back. Timothy came and said, "You will not believe." Even some of the members were being killed because of their belief. 3 weeks. And they held on to it so tenaciously, so wonderfully. They were praising God for what they learned. Well, what did Paul tell them that they were willing to give their life for? It just absolutely amazes me when I look at it. Well, let's go back and look at things just from a little bit different perspective. Guess what had just happened 30 years before Paul wrote this message? Seemed like a long time, 30 years. For all we know, not too many books had been written. We think that the very first book that was written was Galatians. We think the second book that was written was 1 Thessalonians, 3 Thessalonians. That's all there was. Nobody had written their gospel. They didn't have access to Mark, Matthew, Mark, John, Luke. They had no access to that. Paul had no access. Whatever he had, God told him while he was in that wilderness. And so Paul was sharing this with them. But folks, you have to understand that the very foundation of the demonic world was shaken to the place to where it almost did not survive the cross. The devil saw what happened at the cross, and Jesus said, "I looked and behold, I saw the devil fall from heaven like a bolt of lightning." Well, what did that mean? We understand that the cross settled for eternity the character of God for all the unfallen world. And it wasn't like the devil had chains and he's bound down here. Nobody would listen to him. Up until that point, he had some access to everybody in the unfallen world. And at the cross of Christ, it was so decisive that the devil was stripped down and they knew the heart of the devil. They knew the heart of God like they'd never understood before. And the devil was totally silenced. That's the context in which we're looking at this. And now the devil goes forth with a flood like a ravening beast. He has to do everything he can to silence what God did on that cross. He has to keep it out of their awareness. And now they had the audacity to go right into the heart of Satan's kingdom and establish a church. And when he established that church, he had only 3 weeks to lay a foundation to get them through the threat of death. Not only did it go through, but we understand within the time that Paul preached to the time that he wrote 2 Thessalonians. Remember, It's probably a month, month and a half. That by that time, churches had been planted all over. It had spread like wildfire. And that's what Paul had in mind. Look what God has done. Because it was obvious to him, he had 3 weeks to share it, and then he had to go. They had no Old Testament. They had no biblical sources. They had Paul's testimony about what the living God, up until that time, they knew nothing about. And so, whatever he told them during that time, so inspired them, so empowered them, that they were able to go through the threat of death, and not only go through that, to propagate all over the place within months. This spread like a wildfire. Well, what was happening in the demonic world? The devil was stripped down to where every intent, every thought of his heart was revealed. And now he comes down to this earth with great ferocity. Well, how do we see that? What's he going to attack? Has anybody seen him around like a frothing mad dog? Anybody seen this wild beast? Well, what's the evidence? What do we see? Pardon?
The life around us.
Yeah, well, and we see all kinds of things happening out here. But what is happening in the church? That's the source of this light. That's the source of people that are supposed to be telling about what God had done on the cross. That's what the devil is trying to keep us from understanding. And in this letter, Paul makes it very clear where faith comes from. We have a lot of confusion about that. Because we say, oh, I wish I had the faith of that person. Or, I don't have enough faith. Oh, I don't know enough. Let's settle something. Faith is a gift. From whom? From God. Wait a minute. If it's a gift, how do you enhance it? What do you do? What's your responsibility to make it bigger or grander or stronger or whatever? What causes faith to grow? You? Your studying? Your work, your behavior, does that have any impact on faith? The second it does, you are sewing your own garment. You're making your own robe of righteousness. There's not one thing that you can do to cause your faith to grow. It starts out a gift, it ends up a gift. It is nothing but the power of God. Crucial that you know that. Because that is what got the children of that church through that persecution. And inspiring them to go out like a wild flame and sharing this with other churches, I mean other people, and forming other churches right in the heart of the devil's citadel and seeing it grow like wildfire. That amazed him. That's why Paul was crying out, whoa, look what happened. I went out as a farmer. And I threw out seeds. Then I was forced to leave. I cannot take credit for one thing that's happened with the Thessalonians. Only God can do that. And I learned this week that there is not one thing that I can do to cause my faith to grow. Faith, the gift of faith, is going to be needed, is going to be given as the occasion requires it. And what causes that faith to grow? Now, there are a lot of things Paul says in 2 Thessalonians that I wish I would have been there when he told them the first time. Because he says, remember what I told you and remember what I told you. He doesn't flesh it out for us. He doesn't tell us. So what do you imagine that Paul told them in 3 weeks? It got them through. What was that magical formula? Why don't we repeat it today? Well, what do you think inspired them the most?
His story.
Pardon?
His story. He told them about what happened.
Absolutely. He shared what happened there. Okay. What else do you think he told them?
Came, died for.
Yeah. Now, here was Paul steeped as deep as any Jewish person had ever been. And God struck him down on the road to Damascus. And what did he discover? Everything that God was trying to do throughout the Old Testament was pointing to what Jesus Christ did on that cross. Paul was amazed. Folks, that message does not need all of that background that Paul had. That message does not need all of that, because that's what the Holy Spirit was showing him. Look what's happened to this message. Look what's happened to these people. And they have no background whatsoever. I want to ask you a question. Why do we not study the last day events today? Has anybody had that as a focus of study sometime in the past? Okay, two? Anybody? A lot of people. Why are we not studying that today? What have you found out in your studies? Why did that cease? Or maybe it didn't. I don't know. Blaine, do you mind sharing?
No, there was no fruit.
That's what I found out. And what was the fruit that you were looking for?
A closer experience with Christ.
It's incredible. Why were you not studying, Wiley?
I was really hoping for the same thing, you know.
Yes.
I get a lot more out of my relationship with Christ reading the Desire of Ages than I do.
That's exactly what I found out.
Whenever you read the Great Controversy, you're kind of studying the last day of events, but you get the relationship with Christ.
Yes. So in that little group that we started about 2 years after I was in the church, we had a whole group. There must have been about 12 of us, young married couples, few singles that were in there, and we were studying about last day events, and we were just eating this stuff up, not knowing what it was doing to my children in the back, and was doing to my own heart. It was doing that to me. Now, I'm not trying to put down last day events, but there is something the devil wants you to do. Who's behind that? Who causes fear?
The devil.
The devil, that is his number one thing. The devil. I looked at the 144,000 and I shook. How are they going to get through that? What are they going to do? I was terrified. And who is this Antichrist? And can I stand through the persecution and the fires and the dungeons and all of that? Well, why in the world would Paul study last day events? Let me tell you what happened to us. We studied that and studied that and studied that. And we thought someday the Holy Spirit is going to fall, the latter rain's going to come, and this gospel is going to go around the world. So here are these about 12 people. It's interesting. I never saw the connection. About 12 people. Let's see. There were 12 people with Christ. And so we were studying and we were praying and we said, you know, someday the Holy Spirit's going to come. Why not tonight? So we determined we were going to stay on our knees and pray until the Holy Spirit comes. He will come upon our reception, our pleading with Him, and He will empower this church. So we prayed and we decided we would not leave that house until the Holy Spirit came. And we kept praying, and we kept praying, went around and around. Finally, about 2:00 in the morning, my wonderful, wonderful German friend had a wise idea. He felt like he could express himself better in German than he could in English. I had never heard German. Do you get where I'm going? He started praying in German. It was like this pressure on my chest. Oh, praise the Lord! Guess what was happening to my German friend over there? It's like, what? What? You know. So he kept praying in German and I kept praising. And the other people started praising. Because guess what we thought just happened? We thought the Holy Spirit had fallen and given him the gift of tongues. We didn't understand anything he was saying. And we got up from that. We were so thrilled. And he was still in question. What did you guys get so excited about? But he didn't say a word to us. It wasn't until after. Within 1 month, our group was totally dissipated. We're not together. Every one of us broken. Why did that happen? And I asked him and he said, well, I couldn't figure out what all the fuss was about anyway. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I just decided to pray in German. I said, what? What was that about? Folks, I left that and I got so broken, so discouraged, that I didn't know if I wanted to go on. So, oh, you've got to be kidding me. I'm only, what, 2/3 the way of my story? And I have to leave. Look at there, 11:15. I have this problem with not very good planning. I promise you, I will come back and I'll finish my story. When he talked about the last day events, that wasn't even a question in their mind. What about my loved one that just died and this letter that someone said, Jesus has come. He's already come. Are they going to be lost? Are they not going to be resurrected? Paul wasn't telling them about last day events. He was trying to help them understand that the spirit of the Antichrist was in that church that moment. Trying to steal away from them what Christ had done on the cross. That's what the devil is upset about. In any church, any organization, that will take away what Christ has done on the cross is the Antichrist. Now hold on to your chairs. It doesn't have to be someone sitting on a throne overseas. It is him for sure. He has been identified. I tell you that. But to put our focus over there on that and not look at what's happening in my own heart, in my own church, we too are just as vulnerable to be deceived. Because the Antichrist wants to steal from your heart what Jesus Christ did on that cross for you. And to think that there's something you can do to aid God in saving you. That is the Antichrist. Take away from you what Christ did upon that cross. I promise you, when I get another chance to teach, I will come back and try to explain the rest of it. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for what Paul did. He recognized it was your power that caused those children to grow. Your power that caused them to be able to go through the threat of death. Your power that brought forth that love that caused that church to grow. And I know that's what will happen in this room. That you, your Holy Spirit, will fill us, will help us to understand, will cause us to grow. Because the one thing Paul was frightened about more than anything, yes, there will come a time when the man of sin, the man of lawlessness, will stand up and make his name known. But until then, your restraining power is there so that all of us can get a grasp on what you have done through your Son. Thank you, Father. Guide us, prepare us, help us to keep our focus upon you. In Jesus' name, amen.